You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Arguing a case before the U.S. Supreme Court is considered by many to be the high point of a lawyer's career. A new study co-authored by a Michigan State University political scientist contains some pretty helpful advice for lawyers as they write briefs for that big case. In a nutshell, don't get flashy and don't try to tug on judicial heartstrings. Ryan Black is an associate professor of political science at Michigan State, and he is an expert on the Supreme Court. Ryan, you say in your study, to win court cases, appeal to the head, not the heart?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. We are interested in looking at the impact of briefs on the votes that Supreme Court justices cast. And so that's what it suggests. It suggests, first of all, that briefs are an important part of the proceedings. So the justices can be swayed by what is inside the briefs. And it's not just the arguments, but it's also the way that you couch the arguments and the language that you use.
And what led you to do this study?
So in political science, we, to exaggerate just a little bit, we tend to think of judges as kind of just politicians who wear fancy black robes. And so that they, for a long time, we've thought that they are sort of pure political machines. And in recent years, we've been trying to push back against that a little bit to think that, you know, there really are some different constraints that these folks face. And the law is one of those constraints. And the way that the law is communicated with justices is through primarily through the written brief. And so this was a project that we thought of in terms of looking at how the content of the brief could end up influencing their votes.
And I get the feeling that a lot of the public thinks, well, if you talk about the U.S. Supreme Court, we've got the liberals, we've got the conservatives, and they're almost always going to vote based on the leanings irrespective of briefs, but not necessarily.
That's right. That's right. And so what we're just in trying to figure out is, you know, once we control for those ideological leanings, which are very, very well documented and we know make a sizable impact, we're interested in, you know, they're not explaining 100% of the votes that are going on and actually not even explaining close to 100%. And so there's a whole lot of other things that are going into the mix. One of the contributions of this research is that briefs and the content of briefs is part of that. Should be considered as part of that in the mix.
What happens when an attorney, you know, gets too emotional or gets too flashy in their writing?
So I think one thing that's important to keep in mind is that these are individuals, so the justices are individuals who see hundreds, if not thousands, of legal arguments. And so just like any expert, they develop sort of shortcuts that they see that when they are picking through a brief, that they're able to digest that information much faster than you or I would be able to. And so something that stands out that is different than the norm is going to stand up, but probably in not a particularly good way. And so the argument that we make is that when you use this flashier language, more sort of emotional language, that that this is sending a signal to the justices that the credibility of your argument might not be particularly strong. And the interesting thing is the justices themselves tell us as much. And Justice Scalia had co-authored a number of books with folks that provide advice to appellate attorneys and tell them what to do. And part of the motivation of the study is to actually test some of that to see if their behavior mirrors what advice they give to attorneys.
Well, so give us an example. What would be a sentence that I might write that perhaps I should not because it goes too far in pushing emotional buttons?
There's a big list of words that psychologists have put together using human subjects where they present them with these words and then ask them to rate them. And it's called the Linguistic Antiquarian Word Count. And a list of several hundred words that are in there. Some of the ones that that jump out immediately, so the word brutal, for example, irrational, things of those nature on sort of the negative end of things, but then also on the positive side of things, hugs tends to be a word, which probably doesn't appear a whole lot, but hopeful, loved, lucky, all of those types of words have emotional connotations to them. And when sort of confronted with those, again, it's if you sort of hold constant the quality of the argument, our study suggests that that framing it one particular way is going to be more persuasive to a justice than in another.
So if I was putting my brief together, I might want to write elderly widow seeking to retain her lifelong home instead of what?
Let's see here. Elderly widow seeking to retain her home, adding in some, you know, some words about the circumstances by which the home had been taken, you know, in a unjustified and in a maddening exercise of power. This was taken away by the state or under eminent domain or something along those lines. And so things that really that make it probably more interesting for you and me to read. Mm-hmm. But the justices, again, they want the arguments that they can then use to craft their opinions. And that's part of what this entire process depends upon.
So I think you're saying don't necessarily rule out emotion, but don't start pulling out the violins.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I think you want to write, you know, you want they want clarity. They want good language. They want something that is not poorly written. But for leaning too hard on sort of the details and leaning too hard on trying to actually make persuasive emotional appeals as opposed to legal appeals are going to be things that probably get you in a little bit more trouble.
Does this hold true, do you think, for lower courts as well?
Oh, that's a great question. We, because of the data that were available, we're looking just at the Supreme Court over a few decades, so a decent amount of time. But I think it's absolutely the case that we would find an even bigger impact in the lower courts. The vast majority of decisions in the U.S. Courts of Appeals, for example, don't even have oral argument, and so they are decided purely on the briefs alone. And so I think you'd expect to see a much bigger impact of that signal would be even more powerful for them.
So it really is evidence that when somebody is working their way through law school, they have to retrain the way they write. You have to really, you know, this is not the time for the creative writing. Save that for your John Grisham style novel, I guess, if you're an attorney.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And I think that you know, training attorneys to think, you know, and I think law schools do this, train them to think in analytically rigorous ways and focus on legal persuasiveness as opposed to emotional persuasiveness.
Ryan Black. The study is published in the fall 2016 issue of the Journal of Law and Courts. Great talking with you, Ryan. Thank you so very much for being with us.
You too. Thank you very much.